Hi, and welcome to In the Doll's House podcast, a podcast for dads of daughters by dads of daughters. This week, we talk about the decision of whether or not you decide to christen your children, or are you happy for them to go straight to hell?
We also discuss how we've encountered the tantrum and the best way to deal with the tears and the screams, and also when she does it too. Finally, we'll look into ways we build relationships with our daughters and the science behind it.
So, grab a drink and your favourite snack and come and have a giggle with us in the Doll's House. So, Paulo, I don't know why I always start with Paulo, to be honest with you. Paul, how has your week been?
It's been good, thanks, Chris. It's been a bit of a busy one, actually, with the normal 4 days of school and work and everything like that. And then we had an inset day on Friday, so that was good fun.
I got you. So what did you have to book that off from work? Or?
Yeah, I booked it off, pre-planned. My wife told me to book the day off, so I booked it off. I'm not that organised. Our youngest daughter still went to nursery because she's still settling in. So yeah. It was back to the old school, three of us, the eldest. And we went to I'm not just saying this, one of the best soft plays I've ever been to.
What was it called?
I should have
got it. Was it Manor Farm, was it?
No, I should have got the name of it before we started, really. But we'll put it on the socials, perhaps. It's South Staffordshire Way. But honestly amazing. It had everything there for adults and the kids. It was really new, really clean and smart. They had go-karts that the children could go on and the adults could go on, a zip wire.
Oh, nice.
So me and my wife ended up going on the zip wire together, like one each, not together. that would have really tested.
Your daughter pulling them up. Pushing you like that. When's it my turn? Shut up. Just
that,
push.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she actually did have to watch mum and dad do that, so that was quite fun. Decent cafe. So, yeah, had the lot, really. And the eldest loved it. And they had a zip wire for the kids as well. It's like a little seat, so less risk of them like falling off. You can just really push them along and they're fine. And she absolutely loved it. So we were there sort of half the day and then went a little bit of a spot of lunch.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's really good. And then we picked up the youngest from nursery and pretended like nothing had happened and we'd had a really boring day and that she hadn't missed out.
Yeah, we've just been... Yeah, she'd like, you've been out, haven't you?
I could tell you've been out as a thing.
I could tell... It must be like a pain. Like, does that come out of your holiday? Like, do you have like a... Like, not an allowance, like, what did you call it? Like, so that comes out of your holiday for the year?
Set allowance of holiday. So I have to book it off work anyway. But it's fine. I mean, they don't have, it's like those inset days. I don't know how many they have a year.
Yeah. I can guarantee you, though, that inset day would have been a waste of time.
Yeah. For the everybody. Teachers. Involved. It's just a day off,
It's basically what they are. And if there's any teachers that listen to this, it's basically each school or college you work at will have their own little buzz thing that they're dealing with. So whether it's like, it's all coming from a certain book, like we had at my old college, or whether it's like a certain technique that you're doing, or it's like a phrase or whatever, a model that you're trying to do. And like, it all sounds really good on these inset days. Everyone's like, yeah, really buzzing, I'm going to do that. And we had one called questioning. So it's just this, can I say Rose and Shine, this book is. It's all about like questioning, how you use questioning. But this book was dated, it was originally done in the 70s, and this bloke's basically rehashed it. But the most recent sort of statistics are from the early 2000s. So it's about 20 years old. And it's basically say, have you thought about asking questions? So we've tried that. And
sounds groundbreaking.
Yeah, there's this. Yeah. So there's techniques where basically you're not allowed to accept it. I don't know as an answer.
Right. Okay.
So we're doing this. I thought, right, I'm doing it. Because it's a difficult part of of when you're doing the Q&A part. So, you know, when you're delivering content, you want to try and obviously engage in conversation with the students. But that's really difficult if they're not like either where they're too anxious or they just don't want to give back what you're after. So that's this one girl. I was like, ask a question and I can't accept. I don't know. So you have to basically keep sort of drilling until you get the answer. And I can't remember what it was on. It was on like recruitment and selection in business or something. So I was like, I don't know. I was like, well, okay, we'll try rephrase it. You know, what you know, rephrase the question, ask it. And, yeah, I don't know. About three or four times, and she was like, okay. So she started crying. I'm like, yeah, I'll never do this ever again. And she emailed like somebody saying that I've upset her. Like, well, I haven't upset her. I've just tried to ask her a question, but never mind.
Did so, they say, yeah, tell us about this, Chris? And you said, did you have to say, I don't know?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what do you think happened? I don't know. Yeah. Elaborate. It's all about elaboration. Can you have an elaborate? Can you? It's like, fuck off.
Oh, just want to do my job, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Not the worst game ever.
Yeah, well, yeah. I know it's like obviously a pain for parents, but it's a waste of time for teachers for the most part. You just want to. The biggest. I'm going on a bit of a rant now, but the biggest commodity for teachers is time. They always go on about well being. Like, the best thing you can do is just give me time back so I can do some marketing or my paperwork or whatever. I don't want to go to a well-being mandatory 50-minute yoga session somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, don't talk to me about my back. The sciatic has kicked in well and truly this morning. So maybe I should have gone yoga. But yeah, I told them poke it, so I did some work. What are they going to do, sack me?
Shattered the illusion of the inset day for me. I was there thinking, this is great. The teachers, you know, they're going to be really getting trained up to teach our child really good stuff. Yeah. And they're probably just sat there.
You know what I mean? Not listening. I don't know. It's good for some. I just, you know, I've been doing the job for 12 years. So if I'm not very good at it now, I shouldn't probably have been doing it for 12 years, you know. Yeah. So, never mind. But yeah, I like that. So we went somewhere similar to that farm place a couple of weeks ago, like, and I think I told you about it. But you can definitely tell the good ones from the bad ones, because they've thought about it. They haven't just thought, right, we'll just stick a couple of balls in that pool. Like, just think about how clean it is. We went somewhere, Manor Farm in Hampshire. And it's like the crazy area is like the indoor play area, isn't it? It's carnage. But that's where they put the cafe, because you know that it gives the parents somewhere to sit down and have a coffee while the kids are fucking running riot into God knows what. Like, oh, God, my daughter's in there somewhere. She's fine.
I'm having a coffee. She's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you definitely know the good ones from the bad ones.
So
you obviously went to Dean's daughter's birthday yesterday. Obviously, off the back of what we were saying last week about kids' birthdays, how did that go?
Yeah, well, I know obviously Dean's going to listen to this, but thankfully for Dean, it was really good. I think, you know, from one really big, amazing soft play on the Friday to a good effort from Dean, he hired some soft play equipment, and there was quite a few similar age children there. So I took our youngest, the eldest went off with her mom to ballet. But it was really good, really enjoyed it. Little one was in the ball pool, I think, the whole time. Made a couple of friends. I was able to put her down, go and have a chat with Dean. Even had time for a FaceTime call with you, Chris.
I thought I'd get, unfortunately, because we had the sofa delivered. I couldn't make it. So, yeah, I did feel a bit bad, but it was nice to kind of just have that quick chat. Bless him, he does look stressed. I can imagine it's quite stressful, making sure everyone's happy and being well fed and things like that. And his own daughter's obviously enjoying it as well.
He did a good job. And the key thing is, if you're hosting, is occupy yourself with the child, because then you don't have to worry about doing anything else. And, you know, you're looking after the child, so you don't have to worry about the hosting too much.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Dean did that, but I had a lovely cup of tea and a nice slice of cake, so it was great.
To be honest with you, he's going to have that on, like...
Yeah,
he is Mr. T, and he put it the fool.
Yeah, literally Mr. T.
I don't mean that sort of Mr. T, but Mr. Yeah, he loves his tea. So that's always going to be a bonus. Yeah, but I'm glad it went well. It's nice to speak to his wife as well. Because obviously she gave my wife a bit of advice about what to expect in a couple of weeks' time. So that was really helpful, really, what she was sort of saying. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. So obviously in the in the intro there, we were talking about something that some people might find quite important, which is the concept of the christening. So your youngest was christened today, right?
Yeah, I mean, hot off the press, she's been christened
hot
today.
Off the press.
Yeah.
Okay.
So both our children have now been christened. But at the same church that we got married.
Oh, okay.
In very similar conditions. So obviously at a christening, you're holding your child quite a lot. And you're wearing a suit as the man, as I was. And one thing you don't want to be when you're wearing a suit is hot. So somehow we've managed to have our children christened on the hottest days of the year so far. The first, when we had our eldest christening. It was probably it was incredibly hot. I've never sweated so much. And the one thing you don't want to be holding is a hot child, a hot baby.
Especially if it's been dipped in holy water, like a bar of soap.
Yeah, I wanted to just put my own head in it, to be fair. But it's cool to sound down.
Spray that, Father. Spray a bit of that on my face, will you? I'm sweating here. That's
it. But today,
how far do you want it? Father up, please, mate. The name of the vicar.
But today went really well, actually, and I wasn't as hot as I was the first christening of our eldest. So that was good, and I held our little one today for most of the service, and she was doing really well. But then I could just feel a little leg starting to kick, and I thought she's about to kick off. We need to get moving here.
Wrap it up.
Literally, as she started kicking off, the vicar did the baptism, and she was like good as gold after that. She like settled right down. And then we had a bit of an after party, which sounds a bit strange. All above board, obviously. And she slept in she slept in the pushchair for about 2 hours. So she's had a great day. So she's not to worry about mingling or getting to know everyone. She's just thought, I'm going to have a sleep for 2 hours. Great. So it was good.
So what's drawn you to the decision to have them both christened? So I think my sister were christened. But it turns out it was too expensive for me and my brother to have it done. So yeah, that's all like goes straight to hell. Because my sister's a perfect little angel, though, isn't she? So so what was the decision that's driven it to get christened? Like, and what is there a reason why? Because that's not something like out of the bat. Like, that's not something I'd ever consider. We wouldn't christen our kids. I think the holy water would bloody sizzle if we put it on Eden's head. You know, is that three? No, it's a 999. Because granddad was a firefighter. Hold on a minute. It's not something that I'd consider. So what's drawn it to yourselves christening your two kids?
Yeah, we're not overly religious. We've both been christened ourselves, and I suppose it's carried on that tradition. A lot of our family members, extended family members, have had their children christened, so I think it's just part of almost a bit of a family tradition for us, really.
I got you.
And we wanted to have our first child christened, and it felt right that we should have our second child. I think you can't have one and then not the other. You could, but it's a really nice day. It's like a celebration of your child, really. Like you have your birthdays and all that, but this is it was really nice, and today was a really nice day. We had a close family and friends there, it was really, everything went really well, and the little one behaved. She didn't, there's no massive tantrums or meltdowns or anything like that from both of them. So we was really happy. And
how do you go about choosing? Because the godparents, I think that's, if I were to do it, I think to if more for admin. So if anything, God forbid, anything happened between like with me and my wife, sort of thing. Not like if we were both and leave our daughters or whatever, there'd be that somebody there that we know is going to look after them if we weren't here. So I know, I think one of my aunties, I think it's from my sister. So if anything would have happened, I think we could look after ourselves now. I think we're all right. Is that part of it as well? And what process did you go through to shortlist? Did you interview or something like that?
For
the role of Godfather?
Online submissions and then paper.
Yeah, I was going to say, mine must have been lost in the post, like.
I don't know what happened to yours. We just went with close family members. So I've got my older brother and his wife, and then my wife's sister. And we did same both times as well.
So they've done the same. But essentially, your kids have got the same godparents.
Yeah, they have two godmothers and one godfather.
If my brother ever has kids and wants, unless he wants to christen one of his cats, and he asked me to be godfather, I'd go dressed as Marlon Brando.
There's no way.
Mopping my brow like an Italian gangster because it's wetting.
Yeah, put some like pink. Can you hurry up?
These marshmallows are stuck in me.
Marshmallows.
Exactly. So, So you've got, so so what happened, is there like, you know when you get married, obviously you've got your, you're signing the book and stuff like that. Is there any of that that like makes it official, or is there any sort of...
It's kind of like coming together of your close friends and family, present company accepted, because I know you weren't there, Chris.
Yeah, sorry about
you'd have been invited. But and you kind of, it's kind of like joining together, and you kind of together, you kind of agree that you're going to look after the child and be there for help with their upbringing and all that. But there's no like official signing of the document or anything like that. We got a nice candle at the end, and a little, there's a, like a certificate to say she's been baptized.
Right.
But I suppose from a religious point of view, if they, when they were older wanted to carry on in that religion, they could go and do more. Now they've been baptized, they can go on and be confirmed, I think it is. I'm not going to pretend that I'm really up to speed of it all. But that
been confirmed, you're definitely there.
Yeah. So it's that, and it's like today, like I said, really nice day. And then we went afterwards for a bit of a buffet and get together and catch up, and all the other kids and children could play together. And it was, it's just a nice day and a celebration for her.
I think the thing that's put me off is the whole, like, I'm not anti-religious. I'm just sort of, it's not for me. I just think it causes more, it's probably for another podcast, I just think it causes more problems than it solves. But I get the idea of, sort of, because like, obviously the wedding side of things, you and your partner saying you'll be together forever and all, you know, and all that. And then it's the same for obviously having your kids, because, what's the saying? It's quite easy being a dad, but it's difficult being a father. Is that the saying?
Yeah.
You basically be there, and you know, you do hear horror stories. It's not, you know, not everybody is as good as a parent as yourselves, like, and it does happen, sort of thing. So by having that, you sort of what's the word? Not so much confirming, because you don't need that christening to do that, but christening to do that. But he's definitely sort of saying, right, I'm you know, gonna do this for the rest of our life, sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like solidifying that sort of bond.
Yeah, I can't put it into words really, which is good for podcasts, but that sort of thing, you're showing that you're dedicated to it, and you know, you're putting the admin in place as well by the godparents . It's you know, stuff like that, but it would also mean having my family all together, like, which would be quite nice.
Well, that's it, and that's so how you got to think
might
of
be
it
in the future.
So
what age did you have your eldest? About the same,
that same, yeah, sort of, both, yeah, 10 months. But the eldest, it was like August, September.
Oh God, but
no,
but
it was August, and it was just incredibly hot. And I know I keep going on about it, but
yeah,
it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Nothing to do with the gates of hell being opened or anything
No, I don't think so.
What's that big dog? Is it Cerberus or something?
Yeah.
That dog's got three heads. quick, get the water on her head.
Quick.
Yeah.
But I think if you don't think as much about the religious side of it, if you're not religious, then that's fair enough. But think of it more as a celebration, a gathering of your friends and family. And like with the second one, because they're the second, perhaps they don't always get as much attention as the first.
Much attention,
so it was really, you could tell it was like her day today, and she took it in a stride, and she was loving it. Yeah, a little beam on her face the whole time. And
oh, that's good. Do you have like a special sort of christening dress that they have as well?
Yeah, a little christening dress. So yeah, everyone's like cooing over her and loving it.
I'm sure you looked handsome as well, Paul.
Yes, well, you know, obviously, yeah, we'll see on the photos. Yeah.
How long did the services take?
Yeah, not long. It was about half an hour. It was after like all the main Sunday stuff.
That sounded a bit, is it gauche the way, a bit like crude, but do you have to pay for it?
No.
Is it christening free?
It is at the one we went to. You have to make like a donation afterwards. If you want to. So it felt right to do that.
I don't carry cash on me anymore, Vicky. Do you accept PayPal?
Contactless, yeah, PayPal. Yeah.
Well, but they have, to be fair.
Yeah. So yeah, think about it. You could do a joint one when your second one comes along.
Well, we sort of christened my daughter on a Sunday. We take her swimming, so she's in water anyway.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Went today, actually. She's done really well. Yeah. But like, I don't know what's up with her. I don't know, like, whether she caned a load of drink before she come out. So I just kept saying, I need a wee. It's like, just do the fucking thing. fucking what? I didn't, because it's like a place, posh, this place we go to. It's like a private school, so we can't have our daughter's pee.
No.
Like, bloody dragging her out of the thing. Then, cause it's one of those ones where, sorry, we've gone from christening to my daughter weeing.
Seamlessly.
Seamlessly. Yeah. Oh my God, jinx. I really hope that was, I think that's, did you say seamlessly? Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, get in. don't get that on some of the top 10 pods. And, you know, the 25 people that listen to this pod will be like, that was good.
You could edit that so it's like, bang on.
No, I think it'd be bang on anyway.
It was anyway.
What was I going to say? What was I talking about?
Weaning in swimming pools.
So obviously with swimming costume, it's like a one piece in it. So you have to zip then all the way bloody down. And for some reason, she wasn't bending her legs. So she was slippery anyway, a bit like your daughter being christened. Like, you're trying to put a piss wet through your daughter on a bloody toilet who won't bend her legs. She's like sliding off. Right, this is going on my hand, isn't it?
So it's like when they get out of the bath and they need a wee, it's like, oh, this is the worst, because you're already soaking wet and
and then we like literally got into Aldi, they said I gotta need a wee. It's like, oh, Christ. So like luckily in the van we keep the potty in the van, so she was sat on that with the van door open, probably could have shut it. But like she wasn't lined up properly, so that would have like that. So luckily it didn't go in the back of her trousers, but went on my bloody floor. We got like that, what's it called, this stuff you have, like the wood panelling floor and it lock in together. Come on, that's called.
Vinyl?
Anyway, somebody will know.
Laminate?
No, so it's that, I can't remember what it's called now, but we've got that on the floor of the van, so that was bloody wet. So then you're like, we've got a, what do you call it, a potty full of piss here in a car park in it, like bloody Aldi, I'm like... looking around and like straight under the van.
Yeah,
I thought I got away with it. And my daughter's like, daddy, wee wee. It's like, shut up, get in the van. Not get in the van, obviously. But
yeah, I don't think you've been a parent until you've had wee like on your shoes or something like that from a potty when you're potty training. It's like rite of passage. I remember getting shoes. Just, I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's just like, luckily she had a wellies on. So she, for some reason, she wanted to put her wellies on, and so she had them on, so they were a bit wet, but that was all right. But yeah, so it could have been a lot worse. But like, it's bad though, because a lot of these, like, obviously some supermarkets have toilets, but if you go to, because you could be obviously in there for a good hour, and we were quite lucky, obviously we had the potty in there. But if you're caught short, it's like a ticking time bomb. You've got to go leave your shopping, basically. You can ask if they've got toilets, but invariably they say no, they haven't. So it's like, well, what are your options then, really? Yeah. Like, do you just do it up a wall or
you can't do that section? Again. You can't do that again.
No, well,
not after last time.
It's
also
I got my DBS check for you, so it's not on there.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, so it's a pain when you're out with your child and you need a wee and there's no toilets as well, because you're like, I've got to go. I need the toilet, and I've got to find somewhere where I can also take my child in, because I can't just leave them outside waiting.
Yeah.
So when you're on your own.
So we did that in, we took it to, just me and my daughter, we went to Costa. And so she, I think I've told this story before, she spilt the drink on her son. So I had to take her to the, into the, like the disabled toilets who were in there. And I try to dry her off on the hand dryer. And she was shit scared of it. Honestly, started screaming like that, to the point now where like she's just about confident. She's got the ability to go into public toilets now. But she's like, "Daddy, don't dry your hands on the thing. You have to dry on it." So I've scarred the poor kid for life, because
that's exactly the same as ours. Our eldest, she hates them. She still can't use the hand dryer. And like the same, she just had this fear. Then whereas the youngest, she's like, "Yeah, whatever, not bothered."
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you'll find that when you get to have your second, they're just not phased by a lot of the things that your first was phased. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe it's our reactions.
It will be interesting. It will be interesting to see what the similarities are. I think, as I said before, they're going to look alike.
I think it'll be in looks alone from generally is, I think.
Yeah. But we'll see. It's... it's all go.
Is it 10 days you've got now, Chris?
Yeah, so what's the date today? Yeah, 10 days till countdown. So we booked it in. So it was a bit of a... Thank you. So we went in on the Thursday for the meeting, like a consultation. I just thought, like, it'll take about half an hour. But at the time, my wife's blood pressure was quite high.
And obviously, that they with you, or?
I can imagine there's a contributing factor there, Paul, to be honest with you. none of the medical professionals said it out loud. But
they took one look at you. That's why it's high.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it's because obviously they said that you can't really leave him, which is fair enough. Like, they can't go. It could be something going on. So we obviously had the blood pressure test was quite high, so they sort of come back. We had the meeting with the consultant, we were given a date and stuff like that, and had to try it again. It was still high, and they were like, do you want to go have a walk around? It's like, well, you know, it's raining outside, so we can't really have a walk around outside, and a hospital isn't really the most calming places to bloody have a walk around. So yeah, we ended up being there for about 4 hours in the end.
Yeah, and when someone says, we're going to try and get your blood pressure to come down, go and do something else, all you think about is the fact your blood pressure's high, so it remains high the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when someone says, don't think of giraffes, you think of giraffes, don't you? Can you come bring your heart rate down?
So
I'm trying to be as calm as I can, like trying to help out, getting her glasses of water and things like that, rubbing her whatever she needs rubbing. But it was all alright, like it was all fine. Baby's coming along sound, and luckily Rachel was doing well, so yeah, she's ready to go. As I said, like earlier on, like in the pod, it was really good to speak to Dean's wife just to sort of say what to expect, because he basically at the moment sort of said, we'll meet the anaesthetist. There we go, got it. Yeah, the anaesthetist on the day before, and then on the actual day of delivery, we've got to be there for about 7 o'clock. And then I think it's just a case of kind of waiting in a queue unless there's an emergency come through or whatever. So Dean's wife was saying that we could probably be done for about 11, and then you sort of stay in overnight, don't you, I think. So that was kind of good to know. So we need to obviously pack. And they're really good at sort of saying, have you got any kind of specific requirements that the mother would need on the day? So we'll have a chat there to sort of be like pushing for a spec, get her own room, like.
She needs two beds, both for herself.
Two beds, breakfast, quite nice as well. She definitely feels like the delivery will go a lot smoothly if we can both have some cereal in the morning.
Yeah.
Coffee. No, she can't talk for herself. She's blood pressure too high. Let me deal with that.
Yeah. She definitely asked for that.
Bacon sandwich for me. So that's the plan. So it could all, you know, I think we just sort of go there really and just be, you know, just kind of wait our turn, I guess. There's I could say there's no rush, it's absolutely fine, but I'm not the one being cut open. Although when we went down the other day, like, I'm not saying I thought, you know, we had a couple of pods ago, we were talking about wanting to be getting into a bit of shape. I lost about 6 pounds, but
well done.
She had like a baby shower from work on Friday. She's on paternity now, and they've come back with this massive big pink cake. So I've just been eating that at stupid hours in the evening at 10:30, and then waking up for a Rennie's at 4, thinking, well, where's that come from? Yeah. Probably because of the big bloody cake I've had beforehand with icing.
Yeah, that'll be it. Yeah.
So that's gone on. So I'm not saying I'm thinking I'm a bit chunky, but when she was going to, like, we went in there, the doctor started rubbing that jelly stuff on my belly. When's it due? Yeah. Get off.
It's a lovely beard, madam.
Yeah, well, that's a goal. That's a minefield we're not stepping into. Paul. I don't want to get cancelled.
Oh dear.
Yeah, you know, we've got tens of people that rely on this podcast every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, as we said, then obviously one of the difficult situations when you're out and about is when you're cut short with a loo break. But the biggest rite of passage is the tantrum. She's not had anything like any ballistic ones. She's had the one where she's not happy with something, like she wants to go home or she wants some sweets in the supermarket. We're not quite at that aisle yet. But have you had any experience of where you've had your daughter or your wife have had a massive sort of breakdown in public, and like, how did you deal with it?
Yeah, we've had a few that I can think of, like really big ones, like massive, and they're always in a supermarket,
right?
Which is great because that's where the most people are that are witnessing
people are,
the tantrum.
Yeah,
most people,
tutting.
Yeah, exactly, tutting and going, oh, okay, look at them. Most people, I think, you've got kids, kind of understand that that's just something that children do. But obviously, some people who haven't got children perhaps don't understand and get it. But I think it's about not being embarrassed about it. And children do have tantrums and meltdowns. They're not easy to deal with all the time. I think it depends on how you are as well and what's going on at the time, how your day's been. If you can, which is dead easy to say, just like be really calm and let it. They kind of like have to let it. They just have to have the tantrum.
There's loads of reasons why I think my wife is the perfect mother. She's so good. And one of them is, and the main one is, I think, is this her ability to deal with, because obviously she does that for a living with the little kids.
Yeah.
Because I think your reaction, so basically their emotions up here, isn't it? So I think when you're in public, I think you want to try and get that down as quickly as possible. So your emotions come up like that. So that's not necessarily my go-to. It's what I've got to try and fight against. Is that how you kind of feel? You've got to really... Because if you're in public, as I said, we've not had anything too bad in public, because it's almost like you have to put on the act now of the perfect father. You know, obviously being from Staffordshire, I don't speak, you know, I've got a certain accent or whatever. But now, in the supermarket, maybe, now, come on, sweetheart, use your words. you fucking said that once, Dad. Come on,
This man?
Everything is okay, darling. But inside, you're like, shut the fuck up, everyone's looking. You know what I mean? As I said, you just got to kind of give them time, really. As long as they're not going to hurt themselves, I suppose.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of like, let her deal with it. It could take 20 minutes, this.
Yeah.
If you do anything other than, like, try and sort of say, well, no, that, you can't have that sweet, or you can't jump in the buggy, or no, you can't lock yourself in the frigging freezer. It's normally silly stuff like that.
Yeah, you can't engage with them at that point, and then they are not listening. They just want whatever they want, and you've said you can't have it, or it's not gone the way they've want, and then that's it. I think if you can distract by doing something else or something like that, that helps. But yeah, you kind of do that. You do that like polite smile at other people, don't you? Like, oh yeah.
You definitely, because my mindset of it's definitely changed since being a father. Like, if you see a kid having a tantrum, like, you, without being a dad and you kind of see that behavior, you go straight to the parents thinking, well, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But now you just think, oh, the poor bastard.
You just think, thank God it's not ours. There's this, if it's another child having a tantrum, that's probably the most smug you can be as a parent, because it's not your child.
Yeah.
I think. It's yours, it's just your turn and someone else is being smug.
You also do that now. Your kids won't have that tantrum now. Now they've been blessed.
Yeah.
You know.
They do.
Like my creature upstairs, feral creature upstairs, like throwing Kit Kats. No. But yeah, you do, you automatically switch, don't you? You do feel really, really bad for him. There's a little bit. Like my darling, because she's there eating Skips, basically. I'm proud of her Skips. And it's like whenever we go through the checkout, there's always one less fruit shoot in the pack. And the multi-pack of crisps are always opened.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, do you know that's opened? Yes, I'm fully aware. Yeah, it's the only way I can keep it quiet.
I think the worst time that to have a tantrum is when you're picking your child up from nursery, which happened. Oh. And I was carrying her out of nursery, carrying her, having a tantrum. So she's screaming, saying no, 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 as I'm carrying her out of nursery. So to the unsuspecting bystander, it looks like I'm taking that child from nursery. So I know she is mine. She's screaming, mate, no, but this is definitely my child.
It could definitely be worse, mate. I've got a bright orange van taking over. Like, shut up and get in the van.
Just bundled her into the back of that orange van.
What was the tantrum? So she didn't want to go home, or what was it? She was just like tired, you think? Or
this is a couple of years ago. I think it's probably just because her dad was picking her up and not her mum.
Yeah. It could be either way. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what your kids like, but with ours, she'll, the day that my wife, it's my wife's turn, she'll won't go with me.
Yeah.
And then nine times out of ten, she's fine. Come with me when it's my turn. But then that one time, she'll be like, I don't want to go with you. I'm going to go with... Mum's already gone to work. So yeah. It's not really... So it's like, right, this is added on to the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, you just hope, like, okay, this might be a meltdown. But that kind of, like, you know, distraction again and mind her she's going somewhere else. But if you're taking her home... Like, and she's tantruming, like, and trying to get them to the bloody, what they call it, a baby seat and all.
Oh, yeah.
Or as well.
Yeah.
But what are we?
It's so difficult.
It's like, when one comes out the other end, it's like, get your arm, sorry, I'll just, yeah. So how, you know, what was the, was that just a case of trying to get her in the car as quick as possible?
Yeah, I think fortunately, that was when I was walking with her, so I was literally walking her down the road having a tantrum.
Oh, God.
I don't know how anyone didn't call the police, to be honest, but thankfully they didn't.
Yeah.
But we had one a couple of days ago, the eldest. She doesn't have as many anymore, because they do kind of grow out of them a little bit as they learn and they develop how to communicate.
Yeah, so they can, basically, they can't... verbalise the feelings.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
it's just articulate the. Yeah. Look at me using a posh word like articulate. Yeah. You know what
quite,
I mean?
Quite intelligent. You must have been paying attention that teacher training day.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just questioning, you say. I do question it. I question any authority, to be honest with you. I'm really good at that. Yeah, so they can't obviously put into words how they're feeling, but then obviously now she's you know.
Yeah, she's getting to that communicate. Age. But the one a couple of days ago was quite funny, because I was praising her because she'd been really patient with her sister, because she's doing these building blocks and then her sister's just coming along and like ripping them apart.
Knocked them over.
I says,
yeah.
Oh, you've been really patient. I said it twice and she had a meltdown because she didn't like the fact that I'd said it twice. Keep saying it. Stop saying it. And I was like, okay. So, you know, where are the rules? You know, just trying to...
Yeah, you're not being patient then.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, yeah. So it's quite, yeah, you just never know when there's a tantrum on its way.
You can sort of see it coming. Like, so she wanted, so the supermarket is the worst place. Like, because they'll see stuff that they want. So there's like these, what they call them, like apricots in a, you know, those sort of foil packs that you can seal and reopen them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she went through a phase of liking them and then sort of stopped. So she wanted them, like... And she just stood there next to it, to be fair. And she was quite fun. I can't remember what she did, but she just pulled her face like it was quite funny and then got over it. So that's, well, that one could have, you know, gone either way. So at the moment, we're doing all right, touch wood. But, oh, no, she had a bit of a meltdown in the... Because we went swimming and then out put some petrol in the car, and which means... So she has a little iPad while she's... Because, you know, while we're in the car and that... It's bad parenting, but, you know. Because I'm not allowed the iPad because I'm driving, you see. So... And then so put on the floor in that, and then went and paid for his petrol and that, and then come back in, and she wanted it again, literally around the corner from her house, and she was kicking and screaming. And if she kicks the front of the van, then she can sometimes hit the hazard light, so that'll come on. So it's like, no, we're just running. No, we're not. We're far away. It's like, no, literally just at the top of this hill, then down, and then we're around. And I was like, yeah. So she was a bit aggy then, and then she was fine. So I just had to kind of get it to her, didn't leave her in the van for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah,
she was all right, but yeah. So yeah, the old kicking was coming in. So yeah, tell her like, yeah, today. Oh, I think kicking, it's because she was tired from swimming as well. She bloody swam the length of the bloody Atlantic. Bless her.
It's usually like tired or they're hungry. I think.
Yeah, one of those two.
If you identify what it is, it tends to help, and just give them some food quickly, and then it's it appeases it.
Oh, I tell you what though, when I was in swimming today, you know. When kids were at that phase where they start, they ask questions all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so she's not quite that. Like, so she'll say like, where's mummy? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. She'll like, well, have a guess. I don't know, Mars. So we were getting changed, like in the changing room. This kid was like firing questions at his dad about like, what's the shortest amount of time? Is there anything shorter than that? Is there anything shorter than that? Man. And I was like, I'm getting sweaty. I'm like, this is doing my head. I don't want to get your shoes on. And they're quite a, you know, well-spoken sort of family. They're quite articulate. He's a clever lad, like, obviously. Not like, I keep just picking a nose. eating it. there's definitely a culture clash, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We go to these, but yeah, it's like there's questions over and over and over again, and then you have to try really hard not to have a tantrum.
Shut up! Stop asking difficult questions.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad for him, but I think she's starting to get into that question stage where she's asking loads of questions. that I don't know the answer to. Like,
yeah, but the thing is, you don't have to know the answer, you just make it up. It's fine.
Make it up. Well, you know, I'm a teacher, mate, so exactly, you know, it's my role in life to educate.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And she's not quite at the age where I can just say, Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
What's Google? Oh, for God's sake. Google that.
Google that as well.
The other thing we were talking about at the start of the pod is the importance, obviously, building that relationship. And now, obviously, that's almost doubly the sense because now you're everything that you'll do now, especially for your eldest, they'll remember it. So the fact that you went to the kind of the farm and things like that, you'll remember it. Was it? I suppose you also said it was quite nice. It was the three of you again. So what other things are you doing to make sure that you know, you're starting to build that relationship? Because your eldest now is sort of, you know, she'll remember things. Yeah. She'll want to go out. So what sort of things are you doing to build that relationship with her? Like, what sort of play just the two of you do?
Yeah. So ever since she was a lot younger than she is now, with the way that my work pattern was, it was quite nice because I'd always have a day off in the week with her. So the childcare was always me and her on a Wednesday. So as she got a bit older, it was always Wednesdays was the day that I took her out. So I'd always take her to a soft play. And it was great in the week because soft plays at the weekend are an absolute nightmare. But in the week, it was great because as she got a bit more independent, you know, we'd take her to a soft play, she'd go off and play, have a great time, have a bit of breakfast and all that. So we'd always do something with just the two of us.
Just the two of you.
And it's come round again now because of my wife going back to work, and it happens to be Wednesdays again that I now pick her up from school and drop her off at school. So little things like that, where it's just the two of us.
Are you Monday to Friday?
Yeah, I work Monday to Friday, yeah. But obviously I'll like finish a bit early on a Wednesday, and then I'll go and pick her up. And like this last week, she was excited that I was picking up because she could use a bike. I mean, not so exciting for me when it was quite a hot day and I had to carry this really heavy Peppa Pig bike, or frozen bike, I think it is, all the way to school.
And what did she ride?
Well, I had to carry it all the way to the school so she could ride it back. So that was good, but we've always the two of us.
That's almost as dodgy as carrying a daughter that's a young girl that's crying and kicking and screaming. Yeah, just walking around with the kids. Yeah,
I've got a not good reputation where I live.
You know that nutcase? That girl was crying.
Yeah. Guess what he's done now?
Got a girl. He's got a bike.
Yeah, he's got a bike. And going he's carried the it other way. Shoulder. Yeah, with a helmet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did get some funny looks. Yeah, it's great. It's fine. I was sweating
with your helmet
to school. Yeah, put the helmet on. Yeah, but no, we've always found little things to do, and even in the house, like if like a mom's staying in, having a bit of a lie because she's been up in the night with the little one. We've always made time to play together, and I think not that I'm, the science of it. I think the dads bond with their children through play.
Through play,
and we've definitely done that, and we've always made time to go out, the two of us. And like this weekend with my youngest, I took her to Dean's, so it's good. We can still do that now we've got two. There's always time where one of us will go out, and it's even more important that there's time with one parent as well as both of us. I've personally never found it difficult. And as they get older and they can interact more, I think that's when, as a dad, you come into your own a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because you're there for other reasons than you're not there. You're definitely there for a different reason to the mom. So when she's tired, she just wants a mom. But when it's played, she wants a dad.
I don't know, like, obviously the ins and outs, because I'm not, you know, clever. but I think the science behind it is, if the... I don't know if it's just for daughters. I presume it's just for all kids. If the child hurts themselves, their immediate reaction is to go to the mother for that nurturing and caring side. But if they found something that's fun and they want to show it off, they'll go to the dad.
Yeah.
So they'll do all the... And when they do, like, play with, like... So we like, kind of... She's just about that age now. Although she obviously does, she does like rough, like, play. So she does like being, like thrown on the sofa or whatever, and she'll jump about. So... when she's interacting and doing that sort of thing with her father, it'll release that. Is it? I don't know if it is dopamine, but it's that kind of that positive chemical in your brain.
Yeah.
But then that'll also happen in the father as well. They'll also get a bit of a hit from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, not quite as much as maybe coffee does, but we definitely need that in the morning. But you do get like a little bit of a buzz from, you know, playing. So at the moment, she's got, is it the Stickle Bricks, is it? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
So we got like a couple of them together, and we were like, we're like running around at like a little spaceship, something like off Star Wars, which was good. It was May the 4th yesterday. And she was like, May the 4th be with you. She's like, I don't know what days are, Dad. So we're doing that in the garden, like finding all these monsters, like, and so we're doing it for a while. It must have been a good sort of 90 minutes. And I think whatever this chemical was, it was like falling out of me now. So I was like, I was ready for kind of go inside. And she kept going like to my wife. She's like, mummy, have you seen the monster? Now, obviously, you were like, you want her to play the game. No, I think it's gone now. I think it's... And she's like, no, it's in the garden. So back out again in the garden, like they running around like, with a little thing. Because at first I was loving it, I was like, doing all the noises and stuff like that. But at 90 minutes of it, I'm like,
got tired.
Can we, you know, no, it's broken now. We need to kind of have a bit of a lie down. So I know we've got to fix it. So that was good. So we've been able to play with that. She'll like obviously playing a little bit of football. So we'll have a go at playing football, or she likes to know like a bit of an obstacle course. So I'll have to kind of separate the kind of nested tables when one goes into another.
Yeah,
them around the house, and she'll jump from one to the other. Like, and I've got to kind of balance it and things like that. Or so we especially in the mornings, because that's my job. I always do mornings, so there's always something that we have to play. And ever since like that kind of said, you know, when I heard that, like, because it is dead easy just to be like, just stick the telly on and you just want to relax, because it is exhausting if it's sort of about 5:30 or whatever. It's hard, but once you kind of start and you get into it, and you have to realise that obviously this is good for you as well as her, you're building that bond and that relationship.
Yeah.
We've both definitely said we are, girl dads, aren't we, really? I think we definitely are.
Definitely.
So that'll kind of build into when she's older, really, because obviously you want that positive father figure and things like that, which not necessarily all households have. And the fact that you've gone down the christening route as well, which doubles that up. So it all comes together to kind of build that relationship going on, because I really want to have obviously she wanted to do her own thing, but I want, you know, I wanted, even when she's like 18 to 30 or whatever like that, I always wanted to think that she can come home. And like, she'll always be my little sort of little angel, even though, as I say, she'll be 13. I obviously have to have the same balance with daughter number two. Probably shouldn't carry on calling her daughter number two. What was her name?
Yeah, just number two.
Daughter number two, get back in the kitchen. And that's really bad, sorry. Yes. And that sort of, you know, there's other rooms in the house that they're allowed into. That was really bad, sorry. I want to make sure that, you know, that she's got that relationship with me when she's older, but that has to start now. That has to start.
Yeah, you know, you're building it now.
2, 3, 4 by sort of playing. But it is so much easier to say, because obviously, you know, if you're getting up at 5:00 in the morning, you haven't had much sleep anyway, the last thing really you want to be doing is running around the house playing like Star Wars or whatever. But it is beneficial. You know, she definitely, she has the moments where she says she doesn't like Daddy, but, you can definitely see that we've really got a really good relationship, I think, between me and my daughter.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've got the same with yours.
Similar to me. He's like, mornings are always our time as well. Very similar.
Yeah.
Evenings is always mommy. She wants a mommy because she's tired.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. Mornings and making that effort. So, yeah, sometimes there is a time and a place for just sticking the telly on. Even sitting together and watching the telly, that's fine. But yeah, that play, you know, I've got memories of growing up until now, and then going forward, where we just sat around playing all sorts of stuff with your girl and building blocks and all that stuff is brilliant, and we loved all that. And that'll happen again with your second as well, and you'll notice you just naturally fall into that anyway.
Just a couple hours further into the day, to be honest with you, you're not going to remember an episode of Bluey that you sat down and watched or whatever like that, but you are going to remember setting up like the, what they call it, it's not the Hungry Hippos, there's some turtles on it or something, or you know, making a tower or playing in the garden or looking for, like, she found a worm in the garden this morning, and she's one of those kids who'll pick up a worm and want it to go in the hole.
Yeah.
No, like there. So just leave it on there, sort of thing. So that, again, playing with like those sorts of things, making sure we're getting rid of the monsters. She's built a little wall out of rocks as she goes fishing for rocks and stuff like that. It's the small things, isn't it? It is small, it does take a bit of effort, but definitely goes a hell of a long way to nourish that kind of relationship. So I think we've asked it a few times, but like, how have you found that balance now? And what are you, how, what your, have you got any kind of worries that obviously say your youngest is when she's three or whatever, and your eldest is what, eight, which should be eight, won't she, by that time?
Yeah.
Is it like, what are your thoughts on having that? So you want to obviously spend time with the youngest, but then obviously you can't forget the oldest and vice, and you, but then you can't battle them against each other. Do you, you know, what are your thoughts on how are you going to get that, strike that balance, or how are you striking that balance at the moment?
I think about when that happens, and I think it'll be easier than it is now, because at the moment you've got a very different ages, because we've got a baby and a 5-year-old. Whereas when one's three and one's eight, I think that's probably just about the right time where they'll still, they will then play together, and I think you will then play as a three or as a four. So I'm not too, I haven't really thought about that far ahead, but I think it'll be easier than it is now, because at the moment the play with the 5-year-old is very different with the play with the 10-month-old, because the 10-month-old is more like giving a little things to play with, and then the 5-year-old wants to do really big imaginative things and proper games, and it's trying to go, I need to stay in here, look after your sister, and getting that balance right, and trying to include her. You do manage to do it, like even today I've managed to get her involved and all that sort of thing, and so it's definitely manageable.
Yeah, you made like a really interesting point there where you were saying that your eldest wants to do something more advanced, but obviously the youngest can't like obviously do it because it's, you know, she's not developed yet. How is your daughter basically playing with the youngest? Does she kind of get her involved as much as she can, because you know she's not going to get the full experience, she's not going to be able to play dolls, or I don't know what your kids kind of get are into sort of thing, but is she quite I know you were saying that she's quite patient, but is she quite good with it to try and show her how to play with things, or sometimes how's she with
I think it depends what kind of mood she's in. Sometimes she does want to just play on her own, but then other times she'll play next to her. But very much she's got her toys that she wants wants to play with, so she'll find a toy that she can give to her sister and keep her busy,
right?
But then other times we'll go in and like she's got her on her lap and they're laughing together, so that's really nice. Cute. so it depends. She's not at that stage where she's showing her yet, so we're trying to sort of say to the eldest, you need to show her the way that you're gonna but on the flip side of that, the little one, the 10-month-old, she absolutely watches everything her sister does, and constantly looking around for her. So when we were driving to Dean's on Saturday, she was the only one in the car. She kept looking forward to see where her sister was, and she wasn't there. So she absolutely idolises already. You can just see it. And so she's watching her play is another thing. So you know that she's going to learn from her. So that's really nice.
So we sort of like made the point there. I can't remember. I think she was crawling on the floor. She had done a bit of that regression thing. Like she started to pretend that she's a baby. So she wants feeding, or she'll crawl or whatever.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, you're going to have to sort of teach baby sister how to crawl when it comes to, obviously it's a long way down the line. But do you think there's a bit of that as well? Do you think, is she about the age where she's starting to lift herself up? Do you think your eldest will muck in and show her how to do it?
Yeah, well, she started crawling now, the youngest has, and she started pulling herself up. But that what you said there, you'll find that when your second comes along, your eldest will be a bit of a regression. And what I remember that week, there our eldest acted more like a baby that week. She's got a dummy that a dolly's got, and she started putting that in the mouth, and we were saying, take that. So it's
and they'll see the dummies thing.
They'll see the dummies being given to their baby sister, and they want one, and it's like, no.
Yeah, I think that's what bugged my teeth up.
Yeah,
like because I saw my brother sucking his dummy, and I was like, I want one.
I want one.
21.
Yeah. There was a period where part of her play was wanting to be a baby again and put nappies on, and it's like, no, I'm not doing that. Some professional will be able to tell you that's a regression, because they know the little ones arrive and that they see you changing nappies again and all that stuff. So,
and they have to do this to try and get the focus back on them.
So it's interesting you say that, because that happened, and I'll be interested to see if that happens with you as well a bit more.
She'll end up just like, I don't know, smearing her own excrement up the wall or something.
Yeah.
Pay me attention. Yeah. Right, the new sofa. So yeah, it's something that we like keep an eye out on. The dummies thing is something I've a bit concerned, because that was a battle to. So she diving one all the time, like, yeah. And we had to do a thing. Obviously, I think in a previous pod with Dean, we said that we basically used it to pay for toys.
Yeah.
So there was that, and that worked really, really well. It was like a transition for that was amazing. Like, really happy with that. But if we go like that step back, I don't know how easy, if she gets into it again, how easy it'll be to sort of take another tantrum.
Yeah.
Quit, we're going Toys R Us, get in the van.
get in the van,
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. So I'll keep you posted. Yeah. She won't talk to me now. I'll put her in a nappy. Yeah. Never mind. Thanks for being you're like the mining canary. We haven't put you through it, obviously. It was a decision between you and your wife, I think. Yeah. we were dropping like little hints. That fence needs painting, shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That conservatory needs a bit of a target.
Yeah. Is that euphemism? No, it's not. We'll keep our eye out on that. And oh yeah, fucking hell, 2 weeks. Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks basically. 2 weeks time, I'll be able to tell you.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait for the tired podcast.
That makes one of us, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, no, yeah. We could have one with the Withers. We've got nothing else to.
Snoring.
As a podcaster, you got, get her talking, but hopefully you'll hear her crying or gurgling or throwing up. So, in the intro, then we wanted to kind of, I think we've talked about quite a lot there, and I think it's more than anything, it's been able to go from one topic, it's been able to merge into another. So, obviously, we've talked about the concept of going through the process of wanting to christen your children, and the reasons behind that, and it's not necessarily the religious ones. That's the where I come from, is the my point of view is the religious part of thing. But you've made it sound really nice, actually, where it's the focus is on the child, and it's certifying that not dedication to it, but that the fact you're going to be their parent for the rest of however long you can, sort of thing. And that's gone quite nicely too. I like that, the concept of building a relationship with your child through play and things like that, and then also trying to manage when they're not feeling so great and having to deal with tantrums. And as a non-parent, you look at a child kicking off and you'd be like, oh god, what's up with that parent? But then when you sort of see him as a father, you sort of think, yeah, solidarity with your brother, just give her some crisps, it's not worth it. I think that's gone on quite nice. I think it's quite useful to kind of understand, and the fact that building those relationships, it is going to be hard to, especially with daughters who might want to do like dolls and things like that. It might not necessarily be like what you're classified as is what you did as a child yourselves, but that kind of building that relationship early doors is really good for not only just for her, but also for you as a father as well. You do get that little hit of science or whatever they call it. Yeah. So yeah, it's been I think really informative. So yeah, really appreciate, obviously, popping on. You've had a hell of a weekend, hell of a long day. So really appreciate you kind of joining.
That's all right.
It's your podline, obviously. So thanks for kind of fitting us into your busy family.
We've got a day off tomorrow, haven't we? It's a bank holiday, so.
Are you off tomorrow? Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
So we've got another day.
Yeah,
off,
me too.
Yeah.
So I've got notes. The benefits of working in a college, you can sort of cancel lessons every now and again. So I'm not actually. I'm in on Tuesday, but I'm not teaching till Wednesday.
Amazing.
And then my paternity starts on the Monday, actually. So I've taken like 2 days early, because it's worked out again really, really nice. So I've got 2 weeks, and then it's this half term. Great. So I've actually got three.
Is it the penultimate one? Maybe the last one?
As I said, I can't see anything coming sooner. I think our eldest was a few days late, so I think it'll probably be that. But yeah, this will be penultimate. I'm sure we can fit something in. When I'm in the middle of it all,
I'm going to
steer crazy. Like, yeah,
live
from the nappy room. It's
we'll try and get Dean on again. I was going to say,
try. I think Lord Luke might be available next week. I'm only joking. I tell you what, one thing before we go. We were dead lucky that Rachel's colleagues have brought to this. It's, you know, like Gusto and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, that stuff. There's a company that does it specifically for frozen food for parents of new kids.
Yeah.
On the block. And they'll, so you order, it's exactly the same, you order your food and that, but it's pre-done and then frozen, so you just bang it all in the freezer. So we've got like a decent voucher, so we've got like a 4 weeks worth of food, so they'll do, you can pick some that's a combination of your food and then something for the, for, if you've got like a sort of, for our kids, so the 3 and 5 year olds, or you could just do it for, you know, just get two of the same or whatever. So that was, I can't remember what it's called now. I'll have to have a look. It's like Food Life or something.
Yeah, but that
was,
that'd be great. That'd be priceless.
That is a huge weight off our shoulders, yeah. Knowing that week, so it'll be delivered on the Monday, whereas our humans, the delivery's booked in for the Wednesday. So we haven't got to worry about food. We haven't got to go shopping. It's also obviously, you know, shopping. We spent £90 today, so that's another. So £80 that we're saving there. Yeah. So I can't remember what it is, but I 100% recommend anybody that's going through the same resources trying that. It's just a huge weight off your shoulders, yeah. Because you've still obviously got to feed yourself and look after yourself, and if you can make that as easy as possible,
yeah.
Even if it's just like, it's nutritious food as well. Yeah. It's like beef bourguignons and stuff like that. So I definitely recommend anybody that's, you know, going through, about to have kids or like a, you've got a young child. Yes, it's an expense, but it does take that pressure off.
Yeah, definitely.
That's something I thought about recommending. But week 10, that's the big 1-0. I think it's going quite nicely. I think now, Paul, you know, really think we even need Dean, do we?
Who? Who's? Oh, Dean. Only joking, Dean.
yeah. Well, will he listen though? That's the thing. Does he support his own pod?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, he sends us back notes on that, what we should have done better. Yeah.
We put the podcast on in the car on the way back from the soft play on Friday, and both children fell asleep. So if there's ever an advert for this podcast, it'll get your kids to sleep. So, you know.
Yeah, but like, you know, was your wife was loving it though, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was driving, so thankfully she didn't fall asleep. So
yeah, but you did say off pod what she said something very nice. What was it? She thought I was annoying.
She used to think you were annoying. Now she thinks
you used to
funny.
Think I was annoying. Now she, yeah, well, there you go.
So, what a compliment.
You know, thanks for that. It doesn't happen very often. but yeah, again, Paul, lovely to see you again.
Yes, thank you.
I hope you have a nice sort of bank holiday with your family. Pass me best on. And hopefully we'll see you and all our listeners, all 25 of you, again next week in the Doll's House.